Good
Morning,
morning.
everyone. Hope everyone's doing good this morning. Today we're in John chapter 3 and the famous meeting between Jesus and Nicodemus. Of course, this picture, I don't know what Jesus and Nicodemus look like, but this thought it'd be a neat way of starting off the presentation. So a word of prayer. Oh dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day and for the wisdom in your words, and that we can hold dear to you your instruction, and that we can place it in our hearts and use it to guide us each and every day. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, today we're in John chapter 3, and I've always really enjoyed this story. Probably because it really is a good lengthy story between two people who are kind of polar opposites almost, but one that realizes, even though that the people of that day, particularly the Pharisees. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, but he was came to be a believer, and I'm sure that we'll get to meet him in heaven at some point, because he seemed to follow Jesus, but from afar, kind of like the silent voice that knew that he was who he said he was. But the political pressure of the day kind of didn't help any in trying to get most of the people of that time frame to realize what most of us know today. But here's one man that, being a Pharisee, became a believer. And this part in John chapter 3 is his conversation with Jesus one night when they were, Nicodemus had found out about him, and we just start reading here. Well, actually, I got a couple of references here. Starting in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And got a couple other references. We'll see him a couple more times in John. So I thought I would mention them. We'll see him again in John 7:50. And this is a point where the Pharisees and the Sadducees were meeting together. And Nicodemus spoke up for Jesus during that conversation. And said, Nicodemus said unto them, "He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them," this confirms that this is the same Nicodemus that was that we're talking about in chapter 3. And he's telling everybody else, "Does our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?" And they answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. I want to point this out, that during this conversation, I think if Nicodemus is talking to his fellow Pharisees, and he comments that there has never been a prophet that came out of Galilee, which is incorrect. As we heard yesterday from Pastor Silcott, Jonah himself was actually from Galilee. And it makes reference to that back in 2 Kings 14:25. And he restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath under the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spoke by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gathheber. Gathheber is another way of saying Galilee, being as the Old Testament is in Hebrew rather than Greek. Let's see. I was going to explain a little bit more what that word was, but I did plenty of research on it, and it's a little bit in depth as to trying to verify that that word was Galilee, but it's pretty well been thought of. So I'll go back to John 3:2. So that's the prophet, anyways, Jonah, that came from Galilee region. I think there was another one too. I seem to remember hearing in the past one of the other prophets. I think it might have been Nahum or one of them that came from that general area, or Nehemiah even. There was one other one that came from that area. Anyways, when people want to prove a point, sometimes they'll say anything to try to prove their point. Back to John chapter 3, verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Found it very interesting that he uses these two terms, verily, verily, quite a bit through the Gospels. And so I decided to do a little research on the word itself. And there's a little more depth into it when you look at the Hebrew. In Hebrew, believe it or not, it's amen, A-M-E-N. And which more or less can be translated better to so be it or trustworthy. And so it's a little more in depth than the word verily, I think, that personally thinking that because Jesus, but basically Jesus used it to make a point that that you can trust what I'm saying, that I am an authority on this, that and why we say amen. Basically, it's an agreement. It's a saying that this can be trusted. Verse 4. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in his second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it came from, and where it goeth. So in everyone that is born of the Spirit, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Basically, it's we know it exists, we believe it, but it's not something you can see. You can only feel it, really. That's what I get from that verse, anyways. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, and said, I think the way I would say it if I was in this conversation, I would say, So be it. I say unto thee, we speak that we do not, no, or trust me. I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I got to point out this verse. This is our prophecy moment of the day. This is actually, for many, many thousands of years, no one understood why Moses did this. As he was instructed by God. But back in Numbers 21:9, if you remember, you'll set the scene up a little bit. people were getting bitten by snakes pretty badly, and they went crying to Moses to try to do something about it during when they're in the wilderness, and people were actually dying. And Moses prayed to God, and God told him to do this verse, and that anyone who looked on it would be saved from the snake bites and not die. And for thousands of years, no one really knew why. It seems kind of an odd thing to do. It almost seems a little bit like idol worship. And actually, at one point it did. There was some king that later on actually had it destroyed because people started to worship it. I think it was Hezekiah, but I'm not sure on that one. So I just read here. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So very symbolic, that basically saying, look to the Lord for your healing. And so, and it wasn't until John, in this conversation with Nicodemus, that Jesus confirms why Moses did that. Basically a foretelling that Jesus was going to have to be crucified for the sins of man. And so I find this verse rather interesting. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And of course, our most favorite verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's amazing how many people know that verse. And it was during this conversation with Nicodemus. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, one more thing on... Got a little word search too. Let me go back to it. I forgot to mention it. Verse 16. I wanted to mention too that where it says a couple of things here. I did a little word search on believeth. And some people like to say that I just have to believe that God exists and that I'm saved. And so I've heard that before, so I want to do a little research on the word believeth, too. And believeth is actually, in the Greek, it's pitestio. And it's not just knowledge of an incident. It's not just agreeing that, okay, yeah, there is a God. And so that means I'm safe because I agree with God. I know there is one. But it's more than that, because the word actually means... to have faith in, and trust, commit to. In other words, it's more, believeth is more than just saying that I believe that something is true, but you have to actually put faith into it and trust in it, commit to it. So this word's a little deeper than just to say, I believe that there's a God. You actually have to put your faith and trust in him. And so I want to point that out. And also, whosoever is, it's pass in Greek, P-A-S. And I ran into a group of people that tried to say this is only for the Jew. It was directed at the Jews, and so he was talking to a Jew and making it more singular about Nicodemus himself. And so I did a check on that word also in the Greek. No, it's pretty blanket. It means everybody, all, everyone inclusive. It doesn't eliminate anybody. So the word whosoever includes everybody. There's no segregation of any kind between type of person or nationality or anything like that. I've actually met people who've tried to argue that this verse is only is only for a certain percentage of the population. Having to do with you ever run into them, they're pretty interesting people. Very devout. They call themselves the Hebrew Israelites, and they believe they're the true Jews and that the most of the Bible is only written to them. So, where were we? John 3:19. And this is commendation that the light is coming. Oh, maybe it was 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So when you look at that verse, remember to say that it's not just saying believe, but you actually have to put your trust in him and be committed to him. It's not just a simple belief. 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I think about that verse from my own history, that it is true. Most people that do evil things do them at night, that they want to hide. They don't want to be hide. So it's a. So if you're a person that's of the light, your actions should be out there for the world to see. And that this verse kind of tells me that we need to be a light of the world, and to not only say what we believe, but to act it out also, and to be a witness to those around us. And not to sneak around, you know, and in the darkness and be somebody else that we're not. To be truly, if you see me, you're seeing the real me. You're not seeing some fake person who's trying to make myself look good, but that you strive every day to be good so that you can be a light in the world. Something that I've really come to grips with over the last 5 years or so. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are right in God. So as I always tell people, try to imagine that in everything you do, that Jesus is right there beside me. I remember talking to somebody about going to a movie that I thought was very, actually it was the Harry Potter series. I thought it was very evil in intent, even though they make it sound really good, you know, because I guess Harry Potter is someone who is trying to be good for against evil people. But the whole act of being a wizard and that kind of stuff is against the word of God. So just by going to the movie, you're showing people that you think that movie's okay. And in that way, you're not being a very good testimony for those around you. If you say, well, it's only a kid's movie, you know, it's fake, you know, well, it's not as fake as you might believe. There truly is evil forces out there. And so then others would say, well, I'll just, I won't tell anybody I'm going. I'll just go and not mention it to anybody. Well, you'd be surprised who's watching, as they say. So that is my lesson for today, my little Bible study. After this point, Jesus is going to, the meeting with Nicodemus is over. And in verse 22, and after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. So tomorrow we'll look at that. And great meeting with Nicodemus. It's not unusual that one of the most known verses in the Bible, John 3:16, happens to be in that in that conversation with Nicodemus. So everybody say a prayer. Oh, Father, thank you so much for these words. And thank you for promises and the things that you show us every day. I'm learning so much more about you doing it this way rather than just reading. And thank you so much for the insight and the things that I'm seeing new every day. And Lord, I just pray for my country also that we can all come together and look to you for your wisdom and your knowledge, to and that we can get together and realize that you are the one that controls governments, and that we put our trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, folks, we'll see you tomorrow. You guys have a great day.